Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Well, it's officially Tua time. The Dolphins this morning named Tua Tagovailoa the starter when they return from their bye and face the Rams week 8. When asked why they're turning to the rookie QB after winning 2 straight, one source said, quote, it's just time. So, Shannon, will Tua be the Dolphins' best quarterback since Dan Marino?
I believe so. But, Skip, I was surprised by this move. And what this move tells me that they had planned this all along. They said week 7, week 8, going into the bye week, Tua is going to be our quarterback. Now, I don't know if they anticipated being 3-3. Now, it's easier to make this move, Skip, if you're two and four or you're 1-5, 0-6. It's a lot easier to make this move. But you're 3-3, and Fitzpatrick had played really, really well leading up to the bye week. Yep. So I was surprised that they made this move, but I'm not shocked. But it tells me this was their plan all along. We're going to get him some reps. In practice, he's probably looking good in practice. The medical staff says he's 100% fully healed. And they're looking for me, but Skip, if I'm in that locker room and I'm a veteran player, I'm disappointed. Because I believe at this very moment with Fitzpatrick playing as well as he is, and I still have a chance to win that division, I ain't thinking about no damn future. That future, I might not even be here for the future. I'm talking about right now. And right now, Skip, we're smack dab in the hunt of being in contention for the AFC East. And so I like the way Fitzpatrick has played. But when you take a guy, and Ryan Fitzpatrick understands this, when you take a guy that high, and there's only one guy can play at a time, you know it's just a matter of time. Yep. Now, sometimes you're able to hold that guy off, and then they wait till the end of the season, and they move on. Skip, this reminds me of a situation of the Giants had. You remember they had Kurt Warner. They took Eli Manning with the number one pick overall. Kurt started the season, but I think about five, they were at 9 games in, they were 5-4. And Tom Coughlin's like, okay, I've seen enough. I know what Kurt is. We're moving on. They inserted Eli. It worked out quite well for the Giants. I think the Miami Dolphins are hoping for the same scenario. Ryan Fitzpatrick, you did a great job carrying the torch, but now it's Tua's time. And so for me, as I said, to reiterate it, it seems to me that Brian Flores and his staff and the organization said, at the bye week, we're going to Tua. If he's clear, if the doctor says he's 100% healthy, this is the direction that we're going in. We took this guy for a reason, Skip. We didn't take him to sit him on the shelf entirely for a year. If he's healthy, he's playing. He's healthy, he's playing.
So you and I have argued about this from the start, and I said from the start, if you spent the 5th pick on him and you believe he's 100% healthy, you have to throw him into the fire sooner than later. Mm-hmm. I would have done it game 1 if he showed me in whatever camp they had that right. He looked 100% healthy. You almost had to do this to stop the momentum of Fitzmagic. Yeah. Because if you let him go on, he's still capable of winning the division for you.
Yes.
Maybe it's one of those magical runs.
Yes.
And I don't know where that gets you, because it doesn't get you towards your goal, which is to go win a Super Bowl with Tua at some point fairly soon, right?
Yes.
So could he be the best quarterback this franchise has had since Dan Marino? Well, obviously, Dan didn't win a Super Bowl. He got to one.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, ran headlong into Joe Montana and the 49ers. But they have had a parade of nobodies at quarterback, and it's a long, ugly parade.
Right.
So I feel for Dolphin Nation, and I hope that they were right to take this young man, because by all accounts, he is really a great young man. Mm-hmm. By any account, this would be a great story if he came back from career-threatening hip surgery.
And that was a year ago when it happened, in October, right?
Not quite. It was 351 days ago.
Okay, okay.
So it's close to a year.
Okay.
But is it Alex Smith quite coming back? Not quite that bad, but it was career-threatening. Mm-hmm. And here he is, and here we go. I'm not going to back off my opinion about him coming out of Alabama. What do you always tell me? Hurt in college, hurt in the pros. Mm-hmm. He was just hurt too much for my radar in college to sign off on him in pro football, because Rex Ryan said on ESPN, I've used this before, but he said he was told he had 5 surgeries. And I think it's probably true he had 5 different surgeries at Alabama, because he broke his left index finger, and I think it took surgery. Practice. they reported that he had a sprained right knee. I'll bet you it was a scope. No huge deal, but whatever. Then he had ankle surgeries on both ankles, that tightrope surgery. End of the world? No, not end of the world. You can come back 100%, but you kept getting hurt, which brings us to dislocated right hip with posterior wall fracture.
Ah.
No good. And it happened on a weird play where it didn't even look that threatening, right? Okay, so now what do I know about what happened at Alabama? You have to be careful because in the history of college football, no quarterback has ever had the track team of receivers that he was throwing to. None. I dare you to go find better. Maybe some Clemson teams were close. But listen, when you had two go in the first round this year, obviously Ruggs and your man Jerry Jeudy, you're going to have two go very high in the next draft in Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle. And that Mechie kid, I keep telling you, every time I turn on an Alabama game, he gets behind somebody and catches one. I don't know. He's a sophomore this year, but watch him go. He could be a first-round pick. Now let's look at who was catching the ball out of the backfield. Najee Harris is going to be a first-round pick. Okay, so there's another one. And Irv Smith a year ago at tight end was a second-round pick. You want to talk about loaded? Come on. I mean, it's silly how many weapons he had. And then do I need to tell you that two of the offensive linemen who blocked for him went in the first round?
Top 10.
And they're just loaded. It's a pipeline of offensive linemen to pro football. So you have to be careful because no quarterback is put in a better position to succeed than the Alabama quarterback. Okay? And Sarkisian's pretty good at what he does.
He's done a great job.
He's done a great job. Okay. So now, what did I see? I saw some bad games where he lost his poise, then he got a little happy-footed, then he lost his accuracy, and he just sort of lost his way during the games. And you know what they were? It was the SEC championship game against Georgia in 2018. He went 10 of 25 for 164. His knee was bothering him in the game, but he gets yanked in favor of Jalen Hurts, who then wins the fourth quarter 14 to nothing and played great and got them into the playoffs, obviously. Then the Clemson game, the national championship game that year, he threw two interceptions. He was 22 of 34. It was an okay game, but his QBR was low at 59. Most college QBRs are in the 90s. And then against LSU, I'm not going to ding him much for this game, but the game last year at Alabama, he was 21 of 40. So he's barely above 50%, but he did throw for 418 yards. He did throw an interception. His QBR was 73, which is just ordinary in college football. So my point is, some of the big games, he didn't play his biggest. You always tell me, Baker is not tall enough. He's got to find a lane to throw through. Well, Baker measured at 6'1". Tua measured at exactly 6 feet. Is that going to be a problem going forward?
Well, I think the thing is, Skip, if you look at Kyler, Kyler's shorter than all of them. And Kyler very said, I didn't see him get a ball batted the other night. So you look at
Drew. He has had some batted, but.
But you look at Drew Brees, you look at Russell Wilson.
They
found ways to succeed.
I agree.
Being undersized quarterback, and it made it in vogue. I mean, it's because of Drew Brees and Russell Wilson that now height is not even a they don't even care, Skip. Can you throw the ball? You can play
the
quarterback.
Is Tua more athletic than Baker? Yes, he is. Not that Baker is unathletic. Baker moved a lot better in college than he's moving pro football, and I don't know exactly why, but he's put
legs
on some weight.
Making all them commercials.
Maybe. Could be right. So with Tua, in the end, can he stay healthy? I'm going to knock on wood for him because I hate to even bring it up. But the history would tell you he won't be able to stay healthy.
Well, Skip, he's going to have to get rid of the football. I mean, sometimes he tried to hold on to the ball and try to make plays that weren't there, tried to buy some times, live to see another day. But, Skip, you know if you go to Alabama, there are three things that's going to happen. You're going to win an SEC title. You'll probably win a national title, and you're going to leave with a surgery on something. Because Coach Saban thuds it up.
He does.
He makes it tough because he say the games are going to be tough. You practice tough and you practice hard. Skip, and considering where the Dolphins... Skip, the Dolphins hadn't had a quarterback to make the Pro Bowl since 95. And that was with Danny. Dan Marino was the last quarterback, 95. That's the longest tenure in which a team has had a quarterback. Now, San Francisco is coming up on... they hadn't had one in a very long time either. But at some point in time, they've been looking for a quarterback, Skip, since Dan retired. In 2000.
Yep. So I hate to rain on their parade, but this is how I felt about Tua coming out. You were bullish.
I still am.
I was skeptical.
I still am.
Okay. Well, I hope he's... Listen, my friend Lee Steinberg, who I know very well, He will not take on a client unless that client is top-notch as a human being.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't deal with divas and bad guys and bad actors. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't. So, Mahomes, Tua, okay? Will they be two peas in a pod? Well, Miami hopes so.
Well, I'm wishing him success. He gonna be just fine. Like I said, the injury thing, obviously, but he can throw the football. He can throw it.
Not a cannon, not a Mahomes arm.
No.
But he can be accurate. He can be very accurate. It's more Brady Montana type velocity.
Actually, he's the greatest, the most efficient, and accurate quarterback in college history. Mm-hmm. Even if you factor in Baker and Kyler, what they did, he was even more accurate than that.
Hey, I might complete a few passes to some of these
guys. Man, go ahead on, Skip.
Seriously.
I mean, yeah, we got a factory wide receiver, they call it.
It is that.
Yeah, you got Julio and Coop and Ridley. Ooh.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this: crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right. Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids. Just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
We're going to be watching him carefully, but his future is bright. And it's just an exciting new era. It's an exciting new era all around. I want to take a step away and talk a little bit about the NBA. The Warriors will be back to full strength next season with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson returning from injury. They also may have another star joining them, with reports saying that Golden State could look to make a deal to acquire the Wizards' Bradley Beal. Beal averaged more than 30 points and 6 assists last season for Washington. So, Shannon, how big of a threat would that be, you know, to the Lakers?
He's good for me. I think he's a great shooter. He's another shooter to add to Klay and Steph. But I don't think it brings anything unique that the Lakers couldn't handle. Do you really want the Lakers to play small ball and put AD at the five? Is that what you want? So you want Draymond. So you're going to say, Draymond, you got AD. Okay, now we got LeBron. You saw when we went small ball, we got the best small ball lineup in basketball because we got a 6'10 and a half guy that can shoot the three, can get to the mid-range, put the ball on the floor, get all the way to the rack, and if you're finally going to make he made 93, 94% of his shots in the finals. And then the ultimate small ball assassin, 6'9", playing the point. So, okay, Steph, Klay, you got LeBron. Really, is that what you want, Skip? I think Golden State will be I'm missing something because everybody's really shoved a lot of their chips on Golden State. Now, you get Giannis or you get somebody like that, okay, now we're talking about something. But I don't see a three-guard lineup with Draymond causing the Lakers the kind of the problem that everybody else does, because small ball is something that the Lakers were very good at it. They could go ginormous as they did with the Portland. They can play small as they did with Houston, or how you want to do it? Oh, y'all want to go small? AD, we're going to start Caruso. AD, you got the five. Skip, look, I think they're going to be Steph is coming back with something to be like, hold on. Y'all keep talking about all these guys in the top five. Did y'all forget about me? I got 3 chips. I'm a 2-time MVP. Let me show y'all what y'all talking about all these guys taking these logo threes and can shoot the ball. Did y'all forget? I created that. I invented that. Klay Thompson, hold on. Y'all know I'm still the best catch-and-shoot three-point guy in the basketball, right? Oh, y'all forgot. Okay, I'm going to remind you.
Thank you.
Draymond has something to prove because they're not Draymond. Oh, everybody make cracking jokes. So Draymond's going to come back. He's going to be. But Skip, not with that. And they make it seem like only the Golden State's going to be making moves. Y'all think we going to do y'all actually think the Lakers are going to bring back that exact team that won the title intact? No way, no how.
Mm.
Golden State wish you a better look, but y'all ain't trying to see that purple and gold.
Mm.
No way, no how, or no day.
Mm. Interesting. So if Golden State does successfully add Bradley Beal to this mix, I think Jenny would have to change her question to, how much would LeBron and company be a threat to Golden State? Because they would be the top dog at
that point.
They would be the favorite.
I guess, Skip, you still ain't told me who they're going to put on AD. Do you actually believe that 6'6", Draymond would be able to handle Anthony Davis?
I think Kevon Looney's pretty good. Well, he's a first-round pick. He's about 6'9". I think Marquise Chris is pretty good at about 6'9". He was a former first-round pick out of Washington. You could do that if you need to, but the problem is you're asking all the wrong questions. Who are you going to put on Steph and Clay and Bradley?
Because
you can't.
Gobble them up.
Is LeBron going to guard one of them? No, he can't guard any of them. I'm sorry.
Who's going to guard LeBron?
I just told you, you're going to have to outscore them, and you can't. You're going to have a problem because they are going to rain threes
layup.
On you from everywhere.
It'll be a layup
from
line.
From everywhere.
It'll be a layup line.
This would be the greatest shooting, outside shooting team you've ever seen.
No question.
Yeah.
No question
no
about
question.
It. But you know it's
going to
be a layup line for LeBron, right?
Mm.
Can you imagine?
You know what? Klay Thompson might have something to say about that. He just might.
Skip, don't do that. Klay is a phenomenal talent, but we haven't seen the guy. And like I said, in the regular season, Skip, look, we got Golden State one night, and then you go to Portland, and you're Sacramento, and then you back at home.
Yep.
So, but in a seven-game series?
Bradley Beal coming off a career year in which he averaged 31 points and 6 assists.
So he's,
career.
Imagine that. That's no John Wall.
Mm.
So you got to be careful pairing guys, all these guys. Steph Curry got to get his touches. Your guy, you just mentioned, Clay got to get his touches. Bradley Beal got to get his touches. There's only so many touches, Skip. So many touches. See, we got the perfect pairing. We got a big, got a small. That's why Magic and Kareem worked so well together.
Mm.
That's why Shaq and Kobe worked so well together.
Mm.
We wasn't getting in each other's way.
Mm. This would be very interesting.
Repeat. Hey, Jenny, hold up. Anybody out there?
Wait, did you say three-peat?
I said repeat.
Oh, okay.
If Pete and repeat's on the fence and Pete fell off, who was left, Skip?
Three-peat.
Repeat. A repeat.
Yeah.
That's what
I want to hear you say three-peat.
No, Skip. No. We got a move. We got a move that you don't know about yet.
Yeah.
We got one.
Wait, LeBron's going to get younger?
There you go. You always
maybe.
You talking about LeBron. This is Rob Pelinka. This is his expertise.
Yeah.
Now, he might come to us and say, okay, what you think about this?
Mm.
And we're like, okay, I like that, Rob. I like it. And like, nah. Mm. But we going to make a move.
Mm.
And it's a move.
You realize that at some point late next year, probably in the playoffs, LeBron James will pass Karl Malone for most minutes ever played in an NBA career.
Yeah.
Ever played.
Yeah.
That's a lot of miles on those legs.
And do you remember, do you know, sometimes in the next 2 years, he gonna pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the most points. That's a lot of points.
And what will it matter in the GOAT debate? None.
First of all, ain't no more GOAT debates.
Mm.
We the GOAT. So what are we going to, who are we going to debate with?
We
the GOAT.
So are you with it, like combined, you're linked up with him?
Okay. LeBron James is the GOAT.
Mm.
And so anytime you say LeBron, you say we, you say us. So Skip, if you want to have a discussion, talk to yourself.
Mm.
But there's no more debate. My guy is the GOAT. That's final. Mm. And I will have no more comments on that subject.
Okay. Well, my final comment on Golden State going into next year, if they add Bradley Beal, is my own concern is Draymond Green.
Yeah.
He has now joined Team LeBron, and I don't love it.
Well, I've
got a little too buddy-buddy with LeBron and Maverick and Rich and Randy, and he's become another horseman. I don't know how many horsemen are there. Seven horsemen?
No, there are five of us.
Yeah.
Draymond ain't the horseman with us.
Yeah.
Now, they got the package. They got Andrew Wiggins on a nice, we say nice contract, make a $40 million. I don't know he worth that. But they got the number two.
But you can swap those contracts with Bradley Beal.
Right, and you got the number two overall pick.
And you got Minnesota's one and two the next year.
Yeah, so you got, and I want all them.
Well, you got it.
I want all of them.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it like OKC did the Clippers.
So it's funny to me because a week ago you were salivating over Bradley Beal to the Lakers.
That's a whole different ballgame. Mm-hmm. Because now we got a spacer. We got a guy that can get down here and kick it. Oh, whoo. And then we got AD, so it'd be over. I mean, if we got Bradley Beal, 3-peat, three, maybe a 4-peat.
LeBron's just going to play forever.
No. But Skip, we could... At that point in time, by the time we get to the 4-peat, we going to be mainly doing is try to get like 14 assists. Mm. That's what we going to be doing, just feeding Bradley Beal and AD. It'll be their team then. We be good. We be already done got 5 finals MVPs, so 6 and 7, we let them, hey, y'all get that thing, we good. Mm. 7 and 13 years? With 40,000 points, 10,000 assists, 10,000 rebounds. Mm. What would be the discussion? What would be the discussion at that point in time with 7 titles, 5 finals MVPs? What would be that with 40,000, 10 and 10? What would be the discussion at that point in time? Why would I even talk to you about the GOAT?
6 finals losses?
Why would I even talk to you about anything about basket or ball?
7 and 6 versus 6 and 0?
13. Mm. That may have been going to be, and when we thought nobody could ever go to many if Russell.
And here we just are. Gotten completely carried away, and you're giving LeBron James 2 more championships without another loss in the championship, which could always happen.
Because
remember, there's this guy, the best player on the planet is now in Brooklyn, Kevin Durant.
Don't do that.
And the best ball handler is in Brooklyn, and the best clutch shooter at the end of games is in Brooklyn, it's KD Kyrie.
They don't need a coach.
They don't need a coach. And you could be in big trouble in the finals up against that guy because KD shut you down twice in the finals, looked you right in the eye, and shot you out of your own gym twice. MVP of the finals.
KD was fabulous. But this notion that he shut LeBron down when LeBron averaged a triple-double and was 6 assists away from averaging a triple-double again in the high 30s. Mm. That's what he averaged. He was, 34, 12, and 10? Mm. And then he was 33, 11, and 9?
And
no,
he
that's
got,
not shut down.
Swept.
That's not shut down.
And he got gentleman swept.
That's not shut down. Mm. But that's why you think Golden State wouldn't got him? Mm. That's why Golden State wouldn't got him.
Yep.
Because they know they couldn't see us without him.
But there's still a lot of championship pride left in that Golden State locker room, including the head coach.
Well, hold on, what you think we got? Mm. We got the title. Mm. We got the belt.
Well, you
come
got,
see us.
You got a cubic zirconia
title. We got the belt.
You got a cheap one.
So that's your question.
You got the COVID championship.
So is that what you
Congratulations.
Said? Congratulations. So is baseball and football going to have it? Because they got it. Because they've been postponing games and guys have been down. So is this going to be a 4 title?
Mm.
Oh, it's going to be a 4 title. So Tom Brady wins the title. It's 4. Mm. Right?
Hmm, interesting.
Oh, yeah, interesting.
So, tougher finals opponent, Miami for you guys or the Tampa Bay Rays for the L.A. Dodgers? Well, help me out.
I'm just saying, there's no home. You've been playing in a bubble. Mm-hmm. That's what you said. You said it was a bubble. Mm-hmm. So, I'm just, because I need some clarification, because when I write this story, because I'm going to be a storyteller, I'm going to be Ken Attenborough at some point in time, or Ken Burns. I'm going to be them. Jeff Adam, I think it's Attenborough. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to be a storyteller. So when I tell my story, I'm going to make sure. I say, talking to Skip Bayless for another decade.
Okay, so in the National League this year, did the Atlanta Braves not want to really play the rest of the year? Because that's what it would amount to. The comparison.
No.
Did the Braves say, we don't want to go to any kind of bubble? We don't want to play?
They were up 3-1. Yep. The Braves was up 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
The Falcons was up 28-3, up 19, up 16, boom.
Mm.
And guess what? Trey Young was up H-O-R on Chauncey and lost it.
Yeah.
So I just want to know, Skip, so we count any championship this year as being authentic? Mm. I just need to know.
Yours was not. Congratulations.
All the rest are going to be legit, but mine was not.
You got a bubble championship.
No mercy.
Despite leading the NFC East, trouble is brewing in Dallas at just 2-4. Cowboys players have reportedly begun to express their frustrations with the coaching staff. One player reportedly said Mike McCarthy's staff is, quote, totally unprepared, and another player simply put it, they just aren't good at their jobs. Former Cowboys cornerback Orlando Scandrick joining us this morning. Orlando, good to have you. Here's the question, though. Is coaching the problem with the Cowboys?
I don't know if coaching is the sole problem, but coaching is the one of the huge issues. From a leadership standpoint, it's very disappointing that you bring in a coach who you think is a championship caliber coach, and after six games, people is ready to jump ship. When the finger pointing starts, it's hard to come back from that.
Mm. So let me ask you, so the coaching was the problem last year, and these same players are there this year. Not coaching is a problem again. When is there
No. Let's, okay, I'm going to stop you there, Shark.
Go ahead.
The coaching was a problem because the message began to become stoic and everyone was tired of it, so they were ready for change. Sometimes when you realize when you get change, you know, change is not always, the grass ain't always greener. A 2-4 start is a terrible start, especially what you added in the offseason. And I think from a coaching standpoint, they brought in coaches that don't mesh well with the players, the coaches that don't run a scheme that's good for these players. So that's the only reason why I say coaching is a problem. But at some point, these players got to look themselves in the mirror and say, did I make enough plays? Did I win my individual battle tonight?
That's my point. You keep saying, okay, the message got stale. Okay, this is a new message with those same players. When have you got contained? When are you going to contain? When if you're playing cover three that you're in the hook to flat instead of the third of the field? So when, if you're supposed to be in the A-gap and you're not in the A-gap, what is coaching? Coaching teaches you alignment and assignment, which is your responsibility. Okay, once I tell you your responsibility, it's your job to go get it done. So you don't get it done, it's easy because Jerry Jones has made it okay to have a scapegoat in the coach. People have blamed Jason Garrett for 8 years. Eight and eight, this Jason Garrett fault. Now you got a different coach. Now you got no Rod Marinelli, no Chris Richard, no Jason Garrett, and it's still the coaches. What about them players?
No, the players are they definitely in it, but Skip, I'm going to lean to Skip on this one. We hired a coach. Well, I'm speaking as Dallas Cowboys fans. We hired a defensive coordinator that has been lately historically bad. We made some hires on defense, and we brought in Mike Nolan, which he brought in Tom Sula. Let me take you back to the coaching tree. All of these guys coached with the San Francisco 49ers, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Correct me if I'm wrong here. All these guys coached with the San Francisco 49ers. Mike Nolan, horrendous. So they promote Singletary. That has a fallen out, who was also on the same Mike Nolan staff. Then they promote Tom Sula, horrendous. And all of a sudden, they get Jim Harbaugh, and these same players are in the NFC Championship year after year in the Super Bowl. So I just don't think the scheme is bad. They if totally unprepared. For someone to say totally unprepared at your job, that is the worst thing that someone can say. Totally unprepared at your job? What you do, how you feed your family, your profession?
So, Orlando, you have been around. You played for the Cowboys. You played for the Eagles. You played for the Chiefs. You know the score. You know what's happening inside these locker rooms. They have rejected Mike Nolan's teaching in his scheme. Somehow, some way, it hasn't worked because they are on an historically bad pace. You have to go back to the AFL Oakland Raiders of 1961 to find a pro football team that gave up more points through the first six games than this defense has. The last time Mike Nolan was even a defensive coordinator was 2014 in Atlanta.
Horrible.
Those Falcons gave up the most yards in the whole National Football League. And the previous year, they were 27th in yards allowed with him as the defensive coordinator. And the previous year before that, 2012, they were 24th in yards allowed. Fail, fail, fail. And then somehow, out of cronyism at its worst, because once upon a time, he gave Mike McCarthy a coordinator's job when Mike Nolan was the head coach of the 49ers, back to your point, that
correct.
Mike owed him a favor. So one Mike brought the other Mike basically out of semi-retirement and gave him the DC job in Dallas with a team that still has a lot of talent on it. So, Orlando, I got to ask you this because this dawned on me last night. DeMarcus Lawrence has made Pro Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Alden Smith has been a revelation this year. He's played at a very high level. He's made a lot of Pro Bowls in his past, obviously. They added Dontari Poe, who is a Pro Bowl player in his past. And then I look at, wait, they just added Everson Griffin, who did make the Pro Bowl last year. Shannon makes the point, well, he stayed on the market a long time, and they got him cheap, but he did make the Pro Bowl for the Vikings last year. And he's been, I think he's a four-time Pro Bowler. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I see Monday night, Leighton Vander Esch back. He made the Pro Bowl. Jalen Smith has made the Pro Bowl. Historically bad. Can you help me out here? At some point, do you just mutiny on Mike Nolan? Do you completely reject the teaching and the scheme of the new coaching staff?
I think that at some point, thus far in these six games, these guys have said, this ain't working for me.
Correct.
Marks has said, I made Pro Bowl after Pro Bowl. This ain't working for me. We looked, Shannon, 2-3 games into the season. Everson Griffin goes, well, I don't want to stand up anymore. I want to put my hand in the dirt. But that's not the scheme. That's not what the scheme calls for, to keep contained. So they've definitely rejected it. But
Go back to what you said. To do what? What's his responsibility to keep? You said something.
To keep the contained. It's his responsibility. But for him, if he's saying, I can't do this, my arm's too short, this not what I'm used to doing.
Why the hell you signed there? You know the defense that they run?
Why did they bring him there as the coaches? You know why he signed there.
Yeah.
He signed there for money.
Exactly.
Why did the coaches bring him there?
Thank you.
As players, it's your job to make plays. As coaches, it's your job to put these players in the best position and to give them the best plan each week to win, week in, week out. And I'm going to give y'all, I'm going to give it to y'all raw as a player. You looked and these players say their inability to make changes. So these first few drives, the first three drives, they're getting three and out. Then the next drive, what happens? The Cardinals come down, score. Now it's 14-0.
Okay, yeah. But wait a second. Why did that happen? Because
Your
Pro Bowl running back coughed it up twice and gave them two short field touchdowns, one from only 27 yards away. And the defense said, we're out.
Is it okay when the defense is put in a disadvantageous position to just give up a score?
No, you're welcome to stop them. You can stop them holding to a field goal. But let me ask you this. You talked about D-Law. Since D-Law got that big contract, you telling me he's played like a Pro Bowl player, a guy that deserves $21 million. Has he played like that? Simple yes or simple no?
That's never came out of my mouth. You gave me a question and an answer.
Here's another question. Since he made that last Pro Bowl, got that big contract, has he played like a top defensive end? A simple yes or a simple no?
No, he hasn't.
Jalen Smith got that big payday. Has he played like a top-tier linebacker? A simple yes or a simple no will suffice.
The last time you had me on, we talked about the payday of Jalen Smith, and we said, you know, it's being critical, and it may be more than people think it is. But at the end of the day, they paid him to play in a scheme, and then they put him in a totally different scheme. So if I paid you to be a pass-catching tight end, then I told you got to be a left tackle, how would you feel?
No. He's still a linebacker. Go get the ball. How about just go get the ball? What about that effort? You saw that effort against Odell on that run. You saw the effort.
And making plays.
No. That's what defense is. It's about effort and responsibility. Are they doing their responsibility? You keep telling me, you put him in a scheme that he's unfamiliar with.
I'm not making excuses, but all I'm saying is if you pay me to play in a certain scheme, then keep me in the scheme. I thought it was foolish for them to abandon the scheme. I'm not giving them a pass. I'm not giving DeMarcus a pass because he's in a different scheme.
So I'm not
giving Jalen a pass. I'm just saying put the guys in the best position to win. They were struggling with not being in the best position to win, so put them in the best position to win.
But I don't understand. Rod Marinelli's scheme wasn't for them. Chris Richard's. Hold on. Give me a second. Rod Marinelli's scheme wasn't for them. Chris Richard's scheme wasn't for them. Mike Nolan's scheme wasn't for them. What the hell type of scheme is going to be perfect so we can get some complaint?
Time out.
Yeah.
The Rod Marinelli, Chris Richard scheme just absolutely did a number on Seattle and Russell Wilson in the number one rushing attack in pro football in a playoff game at Jerry World just 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. They shut them completely down. Mm-hmm. What'd they hold them to, 76 yards rushing? Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? And by Russ's standards, he had a very subpar game that day, and they hung on and won 24-22.
Correct.
They held him to 22 points. Something worked.
We can go back further. The Rod Marinelli, Chris Richard scheme, Thursday night football against the New Orleans Saints. Oof. They held them to, 6 points?
Yeah.
Yep. Drew Brees threw an interception to end the game to Jordan Lewis.
Okay.
Sharp, what I'm saying is I'm not giving any of these players a pass, but do you see any light at the end of the tunnel in the current scheme or the current coaching on this defensive side of the ball right now?
Can I be 100% honest? I don't think the players on the defense are very good. I think we base their value on how much money they make. That's what we've done with the Cowboys.
I can look at there. I can say that sometimes you put people's value into how much money they make. But what are you going to do? Do you want to scrap every single player on defense, or do you want to try to interject some life and a voice on the defensive side to get these players to believe? Because right now, they don't believe.
I want you to do your job. If you have contain, maintain contain. If you have A-gap responsibility, get your butt in the A-gap. If you got deep third, why are you squatting in the hook, the curl, the flat? Tell me that. You saw that Christian Kirk. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me why Worley was squat 2 yards behind the DB that hook, the flat?
I think he was just guessing, but at the end of the day...
What the hell? Hold on. So the coaches told you, when you go out there, I want you to guess. Play this. Huh?
No way. But at some point, who put those players on the field? Who vouched for those players to get on the roster?
Jerry Jones. Because Jerry Jones everybody here. Skip. Skip read a quote. I know what Skip just read. He said, Jerry Jones says, we've got the talent. Everybody
to
that
fix
came,
this.
To yeah, fix this. Yeah. So everybody that came in that locker room came at the blessing of who? Orlando Scandrick?
Jerry Jones signs off on the final thing. But to put yourself in Jerry Jones' situation, if I'm the owner of the team, how much stuff do you think that he's running? How much? A lot. So he has to take outside information from a lot of people, from his coach. He has to trust his coaches. That was one of the reasons why he hired Mike McCarthy, because he's a Super Bowl winning coach. He's got that in him.
Okay, last question to you, because you did play defensive back at a high level in this league. Help me out with this one. They signed Ha-Ha Clinton Dix before the season started. He is a former Pro Bowl player, only 27 years of age. For some reason, just before the season started, after giving him $4 million for this year, they cut him in favor of Xavier Woods, who's a great kid. We've had him on the show. But I think he's just a mediocre player who has now started 39 games for the Dallas Cowboys. They like him because he's a good kid and he tries hard. What happened to Ha-Ha Clinton Dix? Can you explain that one to me?
I think that they signed... I'm going to go back and lean on Shannon right here. I think they signed him for what he has done in the past. Mm. I don't think that he was what they were looking for. I thought they were getting one thing. And then once they get out there in training camp, they realize he's just as good as the guys that we got. So why keep him? Let's just see what these guys... I know that they know safety is a position of need, but the refusal to bring in Earl Thomas they think that it means for the locker room and just where they are right now. I think they're just trying to keep their head above water, and I know what the message is. We're 2-4, but yeah, we're in first place. We got everything that we want right ahead of us.
No mercy.
Tomorrow, it's a classic NFC East rivalry that's been all Philly as of late. Daniel Jones and the Giants try to get their season going as they take on Carson Wentz and the Eagles. It all starts 7:30 Eastern on Fox, NFL Network, and streaming on Amazon Prime. And it's the Cowboys, who barely lead that division and are also slight favorites to win it at +115, according to Fox Bet. The Eagles are close behind, however, at +125. Orlando Scandrick still here. Orlando, you've played for both these teams. So will the Cowboys win the NFC East?
I honestly don't know. Being optimistic, I would like to say that they should win the NFC East, but I don't know. I mean, their offensive line is decimated. The players are pointing fingers at each other. And I'm not too sure that the Eagles are in. The Eagles are decimated on their offensive line. They're decimated. Both their tight ends are hurt. And their running backs hurt now. And you don't know. I don't put no other team out. I have no idea.
I'm the same. Because you look at, you talk about the Cowboys offensive line, but the Eagles line are just as decimated. They're down both of their tight ends. Their running back is out. And they could possibly be without their three top receivers. Now, D-Jack is they say he's probable to play. But Alshon and Jalen Reagor are out. So they're going with Fulgham. They're going with Greg Ward Jr. They're going with Athega Whiteside. So you look at it, you're like, wow. And they still are competitive in these games. You look at, they played the Pittsburgh Steelers, arguably the best team in the AFC, 5-0. Played them nip and tuck to the wire. The Baltimore Ravens, the second or third at worst, best team in the AFC. Played them with a 30-28 type ball game. Mm-hmm. So when you look at it, they're playing hard. They're as competitive as they can possibly be. And guess what you haven't heard? Nothing about no coaching. You ain't heard nothing about no excuses.
Let's be honest. They're playing competitive against these top teams. They're the Cowboys. If the Cowboys still had Dak Prescott, they're the same exact team almost to a T.
With one
less win.
So let me ask you a question.
No, time out. You said you haven't heard anything about the Philly coaching. Are you kidding me? Philly Nation crushed Dougie P for his play call in the two-point conversion. Yeah. They run a read option with Carson Wentz. What are you doing?
Both of guys.
And it just got absolutely blown apart.
Yes, Skip, I understand.
Okay.
Skip, we get the fans, but we're talking about the players in the locker room pointing fingers and saying.
Some might have quietly been pointing fingers at that play call.
That's the difference between players who bought into a system and players who are ready to jump ship from a system.
Okay. Well, obviously he won a Super Bowl with a Philly special call, so they're giving him the cachet the benefit of the doubt. I do have an opinion on this. You guys have none.
Well, you know who I pick. I'm staying with my team.
No, you said you don't know.
No. If you told me, do I think the Cowboys? I'm still taking the Eagles. I'm still going to take the Eagles, even though they're banged up and they
just
got all.
Just because I pushed you into a corner and you're taking them.
Just because the Cowboys would do cowboy things and they'll keep.
That's all.
And they're going to fire you. Well, you want Mike Nolan gone.
I want him gone today, and I want Mike McCarthy to take over the play calling from Kellen Moore. It is not working. It worked okay for Dak as far as throwing for 500 yards a game, but they were not winning. They were falling dangerously, woefully behind, even with Dak Prescott. And I saw the same song. Sixth verse, Monday Nightmare against Arizona. I still believe this team is good enough with Randy Gregory coming back this weekend at Washington, with Sean Lee about to come back, with Awuzie about to come back, a starting corner. Is he great? No. Is he below average? He's probably a little below average. He's not even Orlando Scandrick. Awuzie is not. I will give you that. But I still say this team is talented enough to win the NFC least. And I even look at ESPN's power ranking that came out yesterday. They still have Dallas 20th, Philly 22nd, Washington 29th, and the Giants 31st. Okay, that's it in a nutshell.
Yes.
So can Dallas go 5-1 in the NFC least? Yes, they can. Could they split with Philly and beat Washington twice and the Giants? Yes, they could twice.
I don't know this weekend. I don't know. They're missing Brandon Knight. He just went.
I got it.
So now they're on their fourth or fifth offensive tackle.
Yep.
The Washington football team, their investment into, the strength of their team is their defensive line. I just don't know how they're going to block these guys this weekend.
But
it's just like now you've gotten into let's run it, let's lean on it. So you got a team that's missing its top tight end, lining up in three tight ends and just trying to turn around and hand the ball off with a bunch of guys on the O-line that look like a second or third quarter of a preseason game.
And that's the thing is that when you talk about, but look, the reason why the Eagles next three games, Skip, they got the Giants on Thursday night.
Yeah,
they got the Cowboys, and the Giants.
I give you those.
They could easily be 2-1, 3-0.
Maybe 3-0. I agree. But then look what happens.
But do you got faith in the Cowboys with that defense? The tackles are out for the year. Knight's out now, and there's no Dak. And you now, Jerry, all of a sudden said, if we'd have had Dak, Dak would have made that thing respectable. Now all of a sudden, he liked Dak. You didn't want to pay it.
Andy Dalton was running for his life on Monday night. I've never seen anything like it. And I thought Andy Dalton actually did a great job of escaping about five more sacks.
That would have made it happen.
Did Dak make it happen in Atlanta 3 years ago? Remember that? 2017? Yikes. Remember, what did he go down eight times?
So just imagine if Andy Dalton was without CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, and Michael Gallup.
Mm.
Because that's what the Eagles could possibly be for the next couple of weeks. What you think Andy Dalton going to do?
Okay, but we do have those guys healthy. We got three potential 1,000-yard receivers.
But you still got Andy Dalton in that defense.
Okay, Andy Dalton is better than you're giving him credit for. Go ahead, O.
I don't. We just acted like Carson Wentz. 21 of 40 for 213 yards.
Ugh.
21 of 40 for 213 yards.
Well, the other guy had 54 attempts for 266 and two touchdowns. And two ITs.
You killed us about Dak's meaningless scores and making the game respectable.
Yeah.
What was we got a lot of meaningless scores, and then we get down, and that's that great two-point conversion call. Fly, Eagles, fly.
I mean, all you can do is run the play that's called. That's all you can do.
Mm.
If you call the play and the play doesn't work, At least I ain't ad-lib. At least I ain't going to go rogue and do my own thing and give up contain.
So you don't trust Carson Wentz to throw it for a two-point conversion to win the game?
I go with what call. I go with what call.
It's because he didn't trust him to throw it.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's what happened. You know it, and I know it.
Put your faith in a coach that plays for ties. We playing the Bengals at home. We're going to play for a tie. Mm. Is that a winning mentality or a plan not to lose?
Well, you got your coach. I just want to see what the coach that y'all got, what he going to do without Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. Mm. So tell me what he did when he had Brett Hundley. How did he look with Brett Hundley?
I never was sold on it. I didn't say he was the next coming of Jesus. Okay. But what I'm saying is Dougie P down there playing for ties. Then when they play against good offenses, they give up 30 points a game.
And guess what? That tie going to come back to help us win the division. Because when we win Thursday night, guess who in first place? We in the front. Y'all in the back again. That tie going to come back to help us win the division.
And what happens when we win at Washington on Sunday?
Let it skip. That's a pick'em game.
It is.
It is a pick'em game against a guy that was out 2 years and almost lost a leg. Mm. That's a pick'em game for y'all, the Cowboys. Mm. And you picking a game that a guy that's out there on one leg.
And I'm picking Dallas. Who you got?
I ain't picking Dallas. That's who I'm not picking.
Okay, well, I'm picking several cases of dew on Dallas.
Chase Young, Allen,
get after him. Way to go.
Kerrigan, Sack
he's
City.
He's going to be everywhere. Yep.
Are you picking the Eagles Thursday night?
Yeah.
How are they going to block anybody?
Ha. Good question.
I know you're not talking about considering the Cowboys.
How are they going to block anybody?
You'll see. They're going to win. You know what? Why you up there talking about how they going to do all this? How you going to get that what you owe me?
I told you with COVID going on, they're not letting packages come in the studio.
No packages. Yeah,
We're dropping off at the front gate. They let them packages come in. You run me that.
It's lack of staff at the front gate. Appointments
only. It's not a lot right now. No mercy.